I want to begin by saying a few words about my own relationship to meditation and why it's such a big part of my own life and why it's meaningful to me. In part, it comes from growing up in a household where my mother was an artist and really quite a prolific artist, and my father was a very accomplished scientist. And I came to realize later that I was growing up in what C.P. Snow called the two cultures, and in the embodiment of both of my parents, I was seeing how those cultures hardly could talk to each other in some ways, and how they were really working in entirely different dimensions of life experience, but each had its own profound validity. I came to see, as I was drawn later on into meditation practice, that the meditation practice in some way held both the art and the science in a very beautiful way, because it had to do with understanding the unity of experience. And while science looks with certain lenses at reality and art expresses reality through other lenses, the seer, the experiencer, the appreciator of the reality is our consciousness, is the same. And so consciousness itself was extremely important to me, and as a biologist, as a student of biology and molecular biology, I went into biology and into science to really ask questions about the nature of consciousness. I actually came to meditation in the mid-60s when I was a graduate student at MIT through the practices of the martial arts and yoga. And I got into the martial arts and yoga in some way to bring balance into my life as a graduate student, where there was just so much intensity pouring into a particular dimension of reality, and all other dimensions of reality were kind of left by the boards. And I found this very disconcerting and wanted to maintain some kind of balance in my life. And so I was trying various things in Cambridge in the early and mid-60s that would bring that kind of balance, and found that the martial arts and yoga were particularly effective in grounding me in my body and in the sense of the balance of body and mind. While working in the laboratory, I also discovered the sauna at MIT in the athletic department, and I would actually say that the sauna at MIT was probably my first and most powerful meditation teacher. And I used to go with some of my graduate student friends and sit in the sauna and crank the heat up as far as it would go. And you'd have to breathe more slowly in the sauna because it was so hot, to just not burn your nostrils. And it was helpful if you didn't move around too much, because even that took a lot of energy. And it was also helpful if you didn't think all that much. So the sauna in some way created the appropriate conditions for what Dr. Weil was calling focused attention. And that served as a tremendous balance to the intensity of the laboratory experience and all of the efforts to try to make progress in science. And it was also very calming. This was also a time when the Vietnam War was heating up and there were all sorts of dimensions of turbulence in the society. And I found that taking moments to be still was extremely valuable in helping to clarify the confusion that was going on at that particular period of time. And so from about the mid-60s on, I came to my own regular practice of meditation, which had to do with basically stilling the body and observing the unfolding of my moments from moment to moment.